This morning, I'm going to throw you a small curveball. For the next 3 weeks, we are going to study a parable that Jesus talked about. There are three main characters, and each week we're going to break down each character. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, Lord, in this time in which you have provided for the earth in ways in which only you understand. Be with us, Lord, and be with all those who can't be with us this morning. Help them, allow them to grow, Lord, and keep them safe. In your son's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be studying a parable from Luke chapter 15. It's fairly well known, and so I'm hoping that once you get the gist of the characters, you understand the story that's going to come about. And so if you would read with me, we're going to go two verses by two verses by two verses. Read these first two with me. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. So what story are we going to talk about this morning? Prodigal son. What story are we going to talk about next week? What story are we going to talk about the week afterwards? What about the week afterwards? Excellent. So we're right there. All right. So next 3 weeks, prodigal son. I'm going to challenge you to really think about what is prodigal and what is not. And so we're talking about the younger son because those of you who know that you have a couple boys in the family, you know that they're not all the same. They can all have these interesting personalities, for the most part, your first child is supposedly completely different than your second child, all right? So, interesting, I didn't say that, all right? So, that is just something that psychologists look at and say, okay, they're different. So, we have in this story that Jesus is telling a story, you have two sons and they're completely different. They're completely different. So we take a look at this, the way things went back then is when dad died, the inheritance goes mainly to the oldest son. So some of you are going to be a little bit left out this morning, okay? So the inheritance goes to the oldest son, and the oldest son is supposed to be the responsible one. Supposed to be. And you're supposed to watch over with that money. You're supposed to watch over everybody else. And then everything else kind of gets divvied up based on how many other, you know, sons are there. You would get two-thirds, and then they would get a third split up between them. All right? So you're okay. Good to go up there. Yeah. All right. So oldest son gets most of the wealth, all right? Good to go right now? That means you're in charge after dad dies, all right? Notice I said after dad dies. So don't be trying to encourage that or help that out or, you know, just don't exasperate him. So in this story, this young man, the younger son, the one who doesn't get the official title, does not get the main part of the inheritance, he says, Dad, you give me what you would give me, and I want it now. And there's a small problem is dad's not dead yet. And so, quite literally, this man, this younger son, is telling his father, I wish you were dead. You got to read between the lines and see in the social context, I wish you were dead. You mean nothing to me. Give me what I deserve. Now, in the right culture, the next response would be the father to take his son in the death grip, to take the son and with one swoop throw him out of the house. That's what the social construct would say. If you were the father and you had this, all this, and your son did this to you, he's gone. He's gone. But interesting enough is, look what he does. and he divided his property between them. So the younger son's going to go off, and do you see the small question you have inside your brain right now? Okay, so I was going to bring a Monopoly board this morning. You remember Monopoly that takes 12 hours to play, and there's always one person in playing with you that has to control and try to dominate everybody else? I didn't ask for pointing. I'm just saying that this is one of the ways that you do things and you collect. And so I was going to bring Monopoly and like, okay, so, you know, the one dominant person tries to, you know, get this property, and you're like, you're so happy you get this piece of paper with you. Okay, so let me ask this, is how is the son in the story taking all this property, putting it in a big sack, and carrying it away with him? You ever thought about that? How do you take property and put it in a sack and go spend it? You have to sell it first. You have to sell it first. In the Jewish culture, your land was who you were, all right? And you held on to that from generation to generation to generation to generation. All right, this is my father's land. This is my promised land. This is what we were given, and we are supposed to hold on to it until Jesus comes, quite literally. All right, and if not, then there's a huge, huge, huge problem. All right, and so what the son is trying to do is saying, okay, I want you to liquefy who you are. I'm going to take it away, and I'm going to take it as far away as I can. And I'm going to take who you were, and I'm going to throw it down the drain. Here from Luke chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Let's read these together. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So you see here that the son, who wishes his father was dead, who has no respect who the father is and no respect for where that comes from. He goes all the way to a far, far country in which his father can't receive news of this is what your son is doing. So he's trying to put enough separation in which I'm going to start out on my own, make a name for myself. Problem is he starts partying. He starts doing all sorts of things. And in your mind, you're thinking, I know exactly who you're talking about. I have a sibling like that. I have a family member like that. Problem is that's not who Jesus is trying to conjure up here. And so we take a look at this last bit right here. Luke chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. Let's read these together. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. All right, so I want to get into your minds that we sometimes like to get as far away from God as possible. There are times in life when we try to get that separation away from him. We're saying, okay, this is not bad, because I'm thinking bacon right here, right? I'm thinking some spare ribs or pork ribs or baby backs. I'm thinking right there. The problem is when we're talking to a Jewish culture in which Jesus says avoid any kind of pig, avoid it. And so what he's trying to say is that when he's going out to feed pigs, all right, this is the lowest of the lowest of the lowest of the low. He is doing something that he is supposed to, even at his individual level, he's not even supposed to be associated with. All right, so there's really nothing he can get any lower, because he is even saying, all I can get in life is to eat what I'm not even supposed to be associated with. All right, so he is literally nothing left. All right, and interesting enough is this is in our context. Jesus is saying, do you see yourself? Do you see yourself? in this story of a man who wants to be by himself, make a name for himself, to take what is not his and to take it somewhere else, to try to live under a name that is not his. And so this morning, we kind of take a look at the younger son and say, Jesus is saying, here's a man who tried to do it his own way. Did it work? In this context, we see a man that finally says, even the people who worked for my father, they knew what it was like to be fed and not go hungry, to have a name, to have a roof, to have a person who said, here, here. And so this morning, sometimes we just need to stop running. Stop trying to take control. Stop trying to tell God what we want and return back. So next week, we'll take a look at another son that we don't take a look at a lot. And we keep trying to get into our minds what it means to be prodigal, what it means to return, and what it means to say, how much, Lord, how much? Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, in this day in which we see ourselves in the younger son, Lord God, I don't know if there's a person in this room that can say that every minute of their lives, Lord God, they have been remained faithful to you. Lord God, we often want to do things on our own. We often want to put the cross away. We often want to try to do what we want to do and earn our way into life. We forgot about the blood that you shed to purchase our freedom from sin. Lord God, on this day in which you have covered this earth around us with a blanket of fresh snow, may we be reminded once again that by your blood, that is how you see us. Be with us in all that we experienced and do today. May we take the message of being the one who wished you were dead, the one who, Lord God, needs to return to the Father. May we be the one that wrestles and struggles each and every day, but also, Lord, the one who is reminded of all that you have done for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.